Good morning, Honeyridge family. Grant Garrett here, and I can't tell you how we miss meeting normally with you, but we're grateful that we're able to share in this way. And so as we begin, let's read together through Psalm 77. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. I sought the Lord in my day of trouble. My hands were continually lifted up all night long. I refuse to be comforted. I think of God. I groan. I meditate. My spirit becomes weak. You have kept me from closing my eyes. I am troubled and cannot speak. I consider days of old, years long past. At night I remember my music. I meditate in my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever and never again show favor? Has his faithful love ceased forever? Is his promise at an end for all generations? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? So I say, I am grieved that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will remember the Lord's works. Yes, I'll remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is great like God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the peoples. With power you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The water saw you, God. The water saw you. It trembled. Even the depths shook. The clouds poured down water. The storm clouds thundered. Your arrows flashed back and forth. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Lightning lit up the world. The earth shook and quaked. Your way went through the sea, and your path through the vast water. But your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I would guess that you have, like me, seen recently that we certainly do live in a connected world. One of constant messages, circulated videos, memes, news headlines, and infographics. A world where forwarded messages are the norm. Messages of encouragement or warning. Some that are amusing and some that show sadness. Messages about people far away and of people near too, and their experiences during a time of lockdown. These messages seem to consume us, at least briefly, until the next message arrives and a new thought is stoked and the old one is quickly forgotten. And as these messages arrive and pass, and eventually we turn off the noise from the world, our own realities start to set back in. Real concerns, such as, what happens next after lockdown? When does this loneliness end? When will I be able to see my family again, my friends? Will I be able to resume my normal activities? Will my employer make it through this period? Will my employees understand? Now, in reflecting on the earlier psalm, I couldn't help but think that this is surely not a psalm that would be written in this day and age. The reflections on how the psalmist persists in crying out to the Lord are a clear contrast to some of the ways which we may find ourselves trying to renew our confidence in a time of crisis. Some Christians may feel like they need to live with a constant smile on their face and with an absence of any kind of fear. And then for some, the uncertainty and worry that burdens can bring about a struggle with doubt and unbelief as this comes home to roost. The psalmist anguishes in the reality of his burden. Sleeplessness, speechlessness, reflection, and even doubt. It's at these low, low moments that we hold firmly onto the hope we have in Christ. And it is made clear that Christ is all we have to hope in. And in the face of all else being taken away, and tomorrow being very different from today, we realize that it is Christ that we need. We read in 2 Corinthians 12 verses 9 to 10 that this resonated with Paul too, as he tells the church in Corinth of his pleading with the Lord that the thorn given him in the flesh should leave him. But Jesus says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul tells us that God's grace is sufficient in the present tense, pointing out the ever-present availability and sufficiency of God's grace for Paul and for every believer, regardless of how critical one's circumstances might be. I'd like to share with you a prayer from the book The Valley of Vision, compiled by Arthur Bennett, that seems appropriate and relevant for today. The prayer is entitled The Valley of Vision. Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, thou hast brought me to the valley of vision, where I live in the depths but see thee in the heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing spirit, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. Lord, in the daytime stars can be seen from the deepest wells, and the deeper the well, the brighter thy stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy life in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, thy riches in my poverty, thy glory in my valley. Let's pray together. God, we thank you and we call on you. We glory in you, our God, our strength, our salvation. We look to you. You have told us to seek your presence continually, and we do that now. You have told us to remember the wondrous works you have done, and we do that now. You are our God, and there is none like you. You never promise what you will not keep. You never fail, regardless of how small and insignificant we may appear. You have a people purchased by the blood of your Son, and you will bring them all into glory. But Lord, we have sinned, we have failed, we have even doubted. We are often not who we are called to be in Christ. We have concerned ourselves with the world and ignored your word. We have forgotten you by thinking so much of ourselves and of other things going on around us. But your word reminds us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us. Give us a renewed desire to seek after you, especially in a time like this of trial and anxiety. Lord, you have called us to come to you, those who are weary and heavy burdened, and you will give us rest. And so help us, Lord, to be reminded that it's in you that we find our rest. We pray, Lord, that you would help us today to find our confidence in the hope that we have in Christ amidst our world crisis. We thank you that we can face uncertain days and that you hold the future. We commit all those who are in the front line of this battle against the virus and for all those who face trial during this time. We thank you that we can share in this way together as a family. And we pray, Lord, that you would guard us and keep us. And we pray these things all in Jesus' name, with thanksgiving and with praise. Amen.